Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Mystical Cruise Show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Mystical Cruise Show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Mystical Cruise Show today. Today, my very special guest is Jenny Jones. She is author of Healing with the Feminine Principle, and she is joining us today from Wales in the UK. Practicing spiritual healing is a wonderful way of getting to know how people think, both those receiving and healing, both those receiving healing and those close to them. While working in this environment, Jenny has become aware of how our thoughts, words, and actions affect our health and everything else in the world. Her book is a distillation of what she has discovered throughout her healing work and in many other areas of life. It has been written in the hope that it will help others to understand their purpose here. Each of us has masculine and feminine qualities within us. The emotions related to these two qualities or energies affects everything around us. For centuries, the masculine energy has dominated the world, but in the last few decades, this domination has become very strong. We are now feeling the results more tangibly than ever in relationships of all kinds, in education, government, religion, economics, and just about every other aspect of life. Only a better balance between the masculine and feminine principles will resolve our current crises. For more information, you can visit her website at www.spiritofoneness.co.uk. And again, that is spiritofoneness.co.uk. And I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, let me go ahead and welcome Jenny to the show. Hey, Jenny, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Well, I'm going to start with, I really enjoyed your book very much. It is a very practical application of a lot of principles, and it seems that nowadays people are really looking for some kind of practical way of dealing with the energies.
Yes, I would agree. It came out of actually some little booklets that I wrote for people who came to me for healing, and they were forgetting from one session to the next what I was suggesting to them about how they could improve their life and therefore the condition from which they were suffering. And so I wrote the little booklets. The first one was called The Little Book of Mindful Healing, and I still have that booklet now, and I still actually sell little copies of it at shows or to healing clients or whatever, because it's kind of a very intense version of what I've put in the book. Obviously, there's not as much in there because it's only about 32 pages long, but it's been very popular with people because they've said that when they get into difficulty with their lives, they often have this little booklet, and they sit and read that, and because it's so short, they can sort of read it from end to end if they want to, and it settles them down and they start thinking with a little bit more perspective about their life.
Yeah, that's the one thing that, you know, I think, you know, people are really just searching for, to be able to help, you know, utilize some of the things that we're learning about our, you know, energies and that kind of thing, and how to best integrate them into our daily life.
Yes, I would agree. And I think it has to be very practical. As you said, the book is very practical. The things about crystals and angels and so forth are very relevant, but they don't necessarily resonate with a lot of people who are leading practical lives and who need to continue to lead those practical lives in order to be able to survive. You can't earn your living if you're not living very fully in the material world. You can have spiritual beliefs, But at the end of the day, you have to live in the material world. And indeed, I believe that as we live in the material world, we learn and we grow spiritually. And that's, those two elements are completely interlinked. And I think that's what people are looking for. Whilst they're looking for help in living their lives, there's also an underlying thing that is natural within all of us, that we're also all looking for some kind of spiritual guidance as well, although we may not be aware of it. It is unconscious.
Yes. Now, one of the things, before we start talking about the actual topics within the book, I wanted to mention a bit about the structure of the book. In the book, I mean, obviously you have different topics and different kinds of things, but you have an additional feature that is like a boxed element. And
Yes.
Can you explain what that is and why you have that there?
Yes. In each of the chapters, I've put in a box suggestions for actual practical suggestions for how you can improve your life based on the theme of the chapter in each case. So each chapter has several boxes in it, and it helps you to actually have some specific tasks, because it's all very well anybody writing a book and saying, oh, well, you know, giving general outlines of what you can do. But many people require a little bit more detail, and they require more specific information to show them how they can get into this. And once you start practicing the things that I've put in the boxes, you then often start coming up with your own ideas as to how you can improve your life, how you can really get to grips with some of the issues that I've raised. So really, these are just sort of starting points for people, and then they can carry on their own after that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've already incorporated some of them into my routine. So,
well, that's lovely.
It is. I mean, you know, it's, you know, and I've done several hundred shows, and so it's wonderful to be able to get new types of activities in order to really put into practice, you know, because, you know, a lot of times people really don't know where to start. You know, it's like,
no.
You know, how do I translate this into my life, you know?
Yes, exactly. And of course, you know, when you start doing these new activities, you can do them at whatever level is right for you in your particular life, because everybody has a different life and everybody needs a different level of involvement in this. And you can start with something quite simple, and you can sort of work it up into other things. And it actually, I know when I started to do these things that I found it quite exciting. All of a sudden I found I had a new meaning in my life, that I was actually working towards enhancing my life. And what was really good was that it wasn't long after I started doing them that my life started to be enhanced by them. So clearly they worked. And of course, there's nothing that succeeds better than success. So if you succeeded in a lower level, you will try and move up a level and get more and more enhancement. And life then becomes a joyous experience, which is what we're here to do. We're here to have a joyous experience.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And just the fact of, you know, it helping you as you were doing it shows the validity of the information that you're bringing into print.
Yes. I'm not giving anybody any information or any suggestions that I haven't already tried myself. So I know whether they work or not. I mean, that's not to say that they will work for everybody. They work for me, and that's the reason why I've put them in there. But they may not work for everybody, but something in there will work for everybody, I'm sure. But it may not be all of the things. But then that's the point at which you can start thinking for yourself and thinking about the ways that you can do it that resonate with you. And therefore, you can then have your own success.
Exactly. Well, what I thought we would do is go through the book. What I like to do is really kind of highlight different areas of an author's work, to give the listeners a really good idea of what to expect when reading the book. So I've gone through your book and highlighted several things, and by all means, feel free to take me on a tangent if you feel, you know, that it's appropriate, because I am confident, you know, in that whatever discussion that we have will be relevant to our listeners. So, but let's go ahead and start, first of all, by discussing masculine and feminine principles. I mean, I think that's, okay. I mean, since it's, you know, that's that kind of the basis of the book, working with the feminine principle. So if you wouldn't mind explaining, you know, from your perspective, the two different principles.
Okay, fine. We all have masculine and feminine within us, these qualities or energies. They are also in the world around us. So various things are masculine or feminine. This is not a gender issue. I have to really stress that every time I talk to people about it, because it's very interesting how often when I've done book signings and so forth, people have said to men have said to me, oh, well, of course, this isn't for me. And I said, oh, yes, but it is. And then when I've explained it to them, they've understood why it is for them. Now, these masculine and feminine qualities within us can be balanced or not, and the balance changes between those two at many times. It can change from one day to the next, from one hour to the next, from one moment to the next, even depending on our mood and what's happening around us. And the masculine energy is about light as opposed to dark. So it's a light, it's about the light in the world. It's an active, creative energy. It's a fiery energy. It's one that wallows in competition, which can often spill over into conflict. It's an impulsive energy. It deals with things at face value. The feminine energy, on the other hand, is to do with darkness. It's a cool, detached energy. It's not cold, but it's cool and it's detached. It's related to water and stillness as opposed to the fieriness and the activity of the masculine. It's a nurturing energy. It yields and it responds to the masculine fiery energy. When we access our feminine energy, we access our common sense, our inner wisdom. We are detached. We stand back and we can see things better. So you can see that those two forces are opposing and they're also complementary. And when those energies become balanced within us and within the world, life flows through us rather than battering at our door. And we can live more easily on the earth plane, which would ease the volatility that we've currently got that's really spiraling out of control.
Yes, it's like you mentioned in the introduction. I mean, the dominance of the masculine energy for so long, I mean, we can see where it's leading us. Nothing but conflict and a lot of just negativity. I mean, you know.
Yes. It needs to be tempered by those feminine energies because the masculine will go rushing off. I mean, it's essential. Both energies are essential. This is the thing. But the overabundance of the masculine without that tempering facility of the feminine is what's causing us a lot of problems, both personally and in the world, I believe.
Yes, I agree. I agree very much. Now, I'm going to go ahead and the next chapter after you discuss masculine and feminine principles is guiding our thoughts. You spend quite a bit of time in the book really addressing our thoughts. And one of the things, one of the first subchapters is evolution of thought and just how thought is the basis of everything. Would you mind explaining why it is that you chose to start with our thoughts?
Okay. The reason I chose to start with it is because everything starts with a thought. There is nothing that we do that doesn't start with a thought. Even when we think we haven't thought about it, we have, actually, because we can't do anything without thought. We're always thinking. We have trillions of thoughts going through our heads in a lifetime, and the quality of those thoughts is really, really important, because just like everything else in this wonderful world is made up of energy, so are our thoughts. So this is a pivotal thing in healing in any sense, because our thoughts are the things that help us to live our lives in a way that can be healing or that can be successful. So we really need to think about our thoughts, because every thought we have goes out into the universe, and it affects every other person and every other thing in the universe. I mean, this has been proven scientifically now. There are many scientists who are coming around to this view. I mean, the shamans and the wise souls that we've had for years, they've always known this. But the scientists are actually coming around to it now, and they are proving it. So we have to be clear that our thoughts, from the point even of a personal level, whereby our thoughts and every cell in our bodies are connected. So every cell is affected by our thoughts. Now, that has huge implications for our health. It means that the way we think is the way we are, is the way our health is. So we have to be very clear that whatever thoughts we have inside our heads, they're not just inside our heads, they are actually going out into the universe. And this is why this chapter is so important, and this is why I started with it, because everything else follows from thought. Action follows thought. Everything follows thought. So that's why I made that such an important chapter.
Yeah, well, you know, I very much am so aware of the importance of that. The one type of practical application that you had regarding this particular topic was an exercise of monitoring one's thoughts for a week.
I
taught a class on positive shifting, you know, shifting our thoughts and actions to a positive. And I usually gave that as the opening exercise because so many people really don't recognize or don't take the time to become aware of how much stuff gets streamed through their heads.
No, indeed. And also, of course, with all of that, because we know that our thoughts, the energy of our thoughts goes out into the universe, we also know that that means that we have a responsibility for what we think, because whatever we think is affecting everything in the world. So the responsibility on us is huge. So
yeah.
We can't take this lightly.
No. And in the thing, in your book, you talked about how people really don't give thought the importance that it really deserves.
No, they don't. And I mean, also, there's another side to this, which I think is great fun, actually. I often, when I want things to go well, I mean, I have fun with sorting out my thoughts and getting them set up so that everything will be successful. I mean, before I came onto this program today, the first thing I did was to think about how I could make this successful. So all the thoughts I've had over this day have been really, really positive. And I thought about, you know, how good it's going to be and what fun I'm going to have talking to you and how great that's going to be, you know. And so immediately I've set myself up to enjoy what I'm going to do. And you can do that with anything, you know. I mean, but for this, it was really important for me, because if I came onto your program and I was full of doom and gloom and, oh dear, isn't it awful and all the rest of it, that would not work at all. Nobody was going to listen to that.
No.
So, therefore, I was buoyed up by my thoughts.
Yeah.
Fun with it.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have fit very well for my format.
But it's
interesting because I did the very same thing before the show.
Excellent.
Today.
Oh, well, it's going to be very successful then.
Absolutely. I have no doubt whatsoever.
No, me neither.
One of the topics was talking about the energy of the world, you know, and just how we identify energy, like energy, a fuel type of energy. Then we have energy that can be like physical exertion. And then there's the energies within things that seem to be solid.
Yes.
And you used an example of the ancient Chinese text Tao Te Ching.
Tao Te Ching, yeah.
Would you mind explaining that? Because I thought that was, I don't know, I think profound, really, when you think about it.
Well, yes, it's very interesting. Whenever I give talks about this, I often use this as an example. And every single time, and the same has happened here with you, every single time somebody says to me, I thought that was really profound. And it really is, because it's what you're saying here is that the Tao Te Ching comes up with all sorts of analogies, and one it uses is when it's talking about energy, we talk about solid structures. The structures are not solid, actually. They're made up of lots of vibrating atoms, and it's only the space in between those atoms that makes them solid. Now, that's a very simple explanation. I'm sure that any quantum physicist will turn around and say, well, you know, you've just made that so simple, it's ridiculous, you know. But that is the way that I can explain it to people so that they will understand it. And the spaces between the atoms we refer to as a field. Now, in the ancient Chinese text, the Tao Te Ching, they describe something in a sort of similar way, but it's different. They describe the potter who shapes clay into a bowl, a vessel. And what they say is, it's not the vessel itself that is of interest. It's the empty space in the middle that makes it useful that is of interest to us. The benefit is not from what's there. It's the usefulness from what is not there. That's what's important. And that's basically what we're saying about the field within these vibrating atoms. The field is what makes the space, rather, called the field, is what makes things solid. So that is the useful bit, because otherwise everything would just be bouncing around. It wouldn't be of any use to us. So I think that's fascinating. And also it's just a nice thing to think about, because you're thinking about what is not rather than what is. And that's quite important. It's getting a balance, because when we think about things practically, we think about what is. We never think about what isn't. And so this gives you another perspective on things. And I find it profound, just like you do.
Yes, because I'm very interested and drawn to some of the quantum perspectives and now it's called the zero point field, you know, for that space in between.
Yes.
It's a field of potentiality. To me, that's really the essence of creation. It's translating that space and that potential into reality.
Yes, indeed it is. And that's what makes all of it so very interesting, because the potentiality is, it's the fact that we have potential there, and that's exciting.
Yes, and I like your explanation in the subtopic of the energy of thought, in talking about how our energy affects outward. You use the example of the spider web.
Yes, because with the spider's web, you've only got to touch a part of it, and the spider will feel that resonation as you touch any part of it. And it's rather like the sort of energy matrix around us, that whatever impact we make upon it, we all feel the resonation all around, because it's all connected. We are all connected. We are all one, basically. And we are one with all the trees, the flowers, the animals, everything else on the planet. We are all one. And so every time any of us do anything, whether it's good or not so good, we affect everybody else and everything else. And again, I would go back to, this is where the responsibility is. Although it's a nice idea to think, oh gosh, you know, whatever I do, I'm going to affect other people. There is a responsibility there to make sure that your choices are, as far as possible, as positive as you can make them.
Yeah, that is just so important. Because if people begin to think more along that line, then we're not only going to be having more positive thoughts, but also, you know, positive reactions and actions that would kind of be like a ripple effect, where it would just
absolutely
compound.
Yes. And actually, you know, the profound part of this is that, you know, so many people feel that they are totally impotent in trying to help what's happening in the world, in trying to improve the world, when in fact that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, each and every one of us is capable of helping to sort out the problems we have in the world, whatever they may be. We can do it just by thinking, even. If we think positive thoughts and put them out there, if we touch other lives, by touching those other lives in a positive and creative way, that resonates throughout the whole. And this is the thing, if we can get our little corner of the world right, and each of us tries to do that, those little corners will all join up and we will have a whole. So anything we do that is positive and creative and loving, this will affect everything else and everybody else. And that's the power that we have. It is huge, and we don't realize. We limit ourselves by thinking we can't do anything to help, but we can. We can do it every single day.
Yep. Start with yourself, right? That's
exactly.
Purge the first place.
Yeah.
Now, I just noticed we're almost down to the halfway point already, and I'm still on chapter two. I need to speed this one up a bit. But so I'm going to kind of talk about some more broader concepts here. One of the things as part of the in that chapter regarding thought is the role of the intelligent observer. And see, that I
right.
think is that's very important, I think, for people to help cope and kind of put a parameter around things that are happening in their lives. So would you mind explaining exactly what an intelligent observer is?
Yes. If you think of the time when you're in a crisis and there's everybody running around, not knowing quite what to do, and everybody's panicking, and you get one person who actually is quite calm, who stands back and who deals with the situation in front of them. They don't try and deal with everything. They deal with the situation in front of them. And that calmness, again, it's calmness of thought, calmness of action. It affects everybody else. And people start to settle down. They start to lose their panic because this one person was the one that stood back and just got on with the job and didn't panic. And this is what the intelligent observer is about. It's about, no matter what happens in your life, is just to take a step sideways or back or wherever you feel you need to go and just look in on your life as if it wasn't you, as if you were somebody else, and see what's happening and decide what needs to be done. Once you start doing it, you find that you don't have to think about it. You automatically pull back and start looking as an intelligent observer. If we can just shift our perspective slightly, it helps us so that we don't start making impulsive decisions. We start to think a little more about what we're doing, about why we're doing it, about what would be the best way of doing things. And it gives us back a little more control, which I feel a lot of people at the moment are having difficulty with. They feel that their life is kind of going along without them, and they're just trailing along behind and dealing with the fallout. But in actual fact, if you just step to the side or step back a little bit, you can see what's going on and you can see what needs to be done. You can see the best way forward. And this is extremely helpful to so many people. And it is also helpful with your health because you don't get so stressed. You're able to keep a perspective on what's going on.
Yeah, that is, I've started to incorporate that more and more, you know, and I do find that it is very calming for me to remove myself from the emotion of what's going on and just kind of looking at it and just seeing, you know, just seeing what I can see from outside. And
Yes. It does help, and it does bring that calmness to you because it's almost as if whatever's happening around you is actually happening to somebody else. It's not happening to you, and you can, you know what it is. If somebody comes to you with a problem and they start asking you what they should do about it and they explain the situation, you're often more able to see your way through the problem than they are because they're so embroiled in it that they can't actually see the wood for the trees, as it were. They need to have somebody to give them a perspective. Well, instead of having that other person doing it, you can be the person to do that with your own life.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to take one more part of that chapter, and then we're going to just take a short commercial break, and then we'll continue. But this one is regarding preparing the ground, aiming for what we desire, and then preparing the ground. And in it, you use the refer to the old adage of the Lord helps those who help themselves, or also now the current law of attraction. But I think a crucial component in that law of attraction that so many people overlook is the preparing of the ground, preparing for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Would you please kind of expound on that, because I think that's so important.
It is. I agree with you. A lot of people are into this sort of cosmic ordering, which is fine, if that's what you want to do. But cosmic ordering, it almost sort of sounds like something you would do with Amazon, where you just sort of order it up from God, and God will deliver it in 5 to 7 days, postage free. And it ain't going to happen. What you need to do, if you want to have a particular thing in your life, whatever that may be, or you want your life to be a particular way, whatever it may be, you have to prepare the ground for that to happen. You have to, like you would sow, when you sow seeds, you put them in fertile soil. So you must do the same if you want something to happen in your life. You have to make the ground ready to receive that. So, for instance, I think I've given the example in the book, if you want a particular type of partner, the way you attract that, because like attracts like, is you become a little more alike that partner you want to attract. If you want your life to be a certain way, then you start responding to life in the same way that you want life to respond to you. Like will attract like. You can't just expect that things will happen just by putting out a wish to the universe, I'm afraid, because we're here to learn. And one of the ways of learning is to prepare the ground for whatever you want.
Oh, and, that is, so important, because, I follow, a lot of the conversation regarding that. And, I mean, it is, people, it is like Amazon, the cosmic Amazon that you talked about, where, people...
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and think this into being. Well, that just doesn't happen. I mean,
you can't stay the way you were, because you've not been attracting it all along. So if you want to change what's coming into your life, you've got to change in order to allow it to come in.
Right, exactly. And different steps that you indicated in that was research what is needed, learn facts and background, become what we want, like you mentioned. And then most important is explore what genuinely resonates to you.
Yes, because I think a lot of people are trying to attract things into their lives that actually they probably aren't the best things for them. They've not thought it through. They've perhaps seen somebody else who's got whatever it is they want, or is the sort of person they want to be, or whatever. But in actual fact, that isn't right for them. What you need to do is be really, really brutally honest with yourself about what you really do want in your life, about how you want to be in your life. And once you've been very honest with yourself, then you can come up with things that are actually what you need, and you've far more chance of getting them. Far more chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to just take a short couple-minute break here, and then when we return, we'll continue on with the show. So everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Janet Russell, psychic medium, TV host, and mystical cruise speaker. For years, I've wanted to be a speaker on a cruise. I have a brand new passport, and I'm ready to use it. What am I looking forward to most about the mystical cruise? Oh, meeting and enjoying the company of spiritually minded people, personally meeting radio listeners and TV viewers, giving a workshop on the ship, just being there with like-minded people and having fun. I really, really can't wait. I hope you can join me for my monthly appearances on the Mystical Cruise radio show, and you can also watch my new TV show online, Janet Russell Presents, on Paranormal TV Network. And you can always join me at my website, JanetRussellPresents.com. Or better yet, I look forward to meeting you on the Carnival Conquest for the Mystical Cruise. So sign up today. It's very reasonable. You can have fun.
Thank you. It is often said that life is about the journey, not the destination. It's about the people we meet, the experiences we share, and the joy we create for ourselves and others we touch. With the Mystical Cruise 2013, it's both. My journey toward the cruise did not start when I began planning the cruise, and not even when I selected the speakers. It started when I personally booked my cabin on the cruise. It was at that moment that I knew what was ahead, because I've experienced it with every previous cruise, an unforgettable, fun vacation. Hi, I'm Robert Sharp, coordinator of the Mystical Cruise 2013, happening January 27th to February 3rd. This cruise is a rare opportunity to share fun experiences in exotic ports, to learn from gifted intuitive teachers, and to be a part of a transformational fun experience where strong, lasting friendships are formed. The Mystical Cruise 2013 package is an exceptional deal for a 7-day Western Caribbean cruise leaving from New Orleans, Louisiana, with stops in Mahogany Bay, El Roatan, Belize, and Cozumel, Mexico. For more information or details, visit www.biteradio.me or contact me, Robert, at 843-808-0777. Again, that's 843-808-0777. By booking your cabin today, you'll take that crucial first step toward joining me and the Mystical Cruise speakers for this fun, exciting, and transformational destination.
Okay, everybody, thank you for staying with us. Again, today, my very special guest joining us today from Wales in the UK is Jenny Jones, author of Healing with the Feminine Principle. You can find out more about Jenny in her book at her website, which is www.spiritofoneness.co.uk. And also there you'll find information about Howard, her husband. And Howard was a guest on my show at the end of April, and we spoke about his book, The World of Spirit. And I enjoyed that book as well. Two very different books, but also very entertaining. I mean, Howard's was like the philosophical, you know, background, I think, of spirit, you know. Yeah. And yours is a practical application. So
yes,
both are necessary.
Could I just say actually that both of the books now, Healing with the Feminine Principle and The World of Spirit, are available as e-books.
Oh, very good, very good. That makes it much easier.
Yeah, and get those through the website as well. And also, while I'm promoting here, could I just say that Howard has another book coming out in the autumn called Evolution of Consciousness.
Oh, that's another one. Oh, yes. You know, as a matter of fact, he sent me right after we did the World of Spirit. He sent me, I think, a chapter on that. And do let him know
that
I want him back when that becomes available. Okay.
Okay.
You know, because I just enjoy having guests on who are very thought provoking, whose works are, you know, thought provoking and beneficial. So both of you fall into that category. So.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, well, let's go ahead and continue about your book. Now, one of the chapters, and I can go into details, but I'd like for you to kind of explain what the chapter is about. It's called Designer Bodies. And this that has nothing to do with cosmetic surgery. So can you explain what you meant by designer bodies and kind of what the message of that chapter would be?
Right. Okay. The reason why I called them designer bodies was because every body is unique. Although the medical profession would like you to think that every single body is pretty much the same, and they're right in one way, in that, you know, we have the core things like the organs and the limbs and all the rest of it. But actually, every single body is unique in the way it responds to various stimuli, in the way that we work with it, and in so many other ways. And so we really have to be terribly grateful for the fact that our bodies are effectively designed just for us, each individual body. And this is one of the reasons why I feel we should have gratitude, is because we have these designer bodies. But with that comes, again, the responsibility of understanding what our particular body needs. And that means making sure that we listen to our bodies in terms of what we put into them. You know that if you eat certain things, they don't sit well on your stomach, and therefore you get problems. I mean, I know of many people who have indigestion as a result of eating things like onions. And I say to them, you know, well, you know, your body is telling you basically, look, don't keep eating these because they don't agree with me. But you keep on eating them, you know, and you will get indigestion. Indigestion is a way that your body tells you, no, this is not right for me. So we have to be very careful about things that we put into our bodies, because they are designed specifically for us and we are expected to listen to them.
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing I liked about your book, too, one of the sub themes that goes through is responsibility, personal responsibility. That is, I mean, you know, so many times people try and blame others for, or situations for, what's occurring in their life rather than taking that personal responsibility for improving it themselves.
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, we all really go through phases where we say, when something goes wrong with our bodies, oh, why me? Well, you know, I have healing clients who come to me and say that quite often, and I say to them, well, why not? You know, if you've done certain things to your body, you may not have even known you were doing them, so I'm not blaming you here. There isn't any reason to blame you for anything. But, you know, if you've done something to your body which has caused you to have these problems, then I'm afraid, you know, it has to be you, because it's your body. So let's not worry about all the blame thing and everything. Let's sort out what it is that's causing you the problems, and let's sort of take that away in order that you can become healthy again. So it is a question of responsibility. And the other theme that runs through the book, which I'm sure you will have picked up, is that it is our choice. We always have free will. It's our choice as to what we do, what we put into our bodies. If we choose to continue to do things to our body or put things into our body that are harmful to it, then that is our choice. And, you know, it's nobody else's business, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, and that I did pick up that, you know, quite often, because, again, you know, when you start thinking about the impact of our thoughts on things, that you know, recognizing that, you know, when you have a choice to make, you know, that it carries with it a natural consequence. So I really enjoyed that. Now, let's see here. There's one chapter, and we're not going to go into details, but it's a very good chapter. It's called Our Authentic Soul, and in that you cover the true soul, developing and using natural abilities, building true relationships, our material desires, living an authentic life, the process of change, our impact on others, and the practicalities of achieving our truth. Very good chapter. We won't be able to go through that, so I just want to let everybody know what was available. But let's move on to the living and enjoying now, because we really just have the moment, each moment, moment after moment after moment. And one of the things that I kind of smiled at was in the first subchapter was where we focus. One of the first sentences was, daydreaming is an essential component of a healthy life. And I thought, yay. But there's a caveat to that. But would you mind explaining why that is so essential for living and enjoying now?
Right, okay. Daydreaming is really important, because it's the time when we sort of let go. And during daydreaming, I believe our intuition comes into play much more, because we're just allowing ourselves to be rather than to do, because we're so busy nowadays. We're forever wanting to be busy. It's almost as if if we're not busy, we're not productive. When actually, it couldn't be further from the truth. When you're just daydreaming, it's a very productive thing to do, as long as you don't spend too much time on it. I mean, clearly, you have to focus on your material life. But if you spend certain portions of the time just daydreaming, you are allowing your brain to freewheel, and you're allowing your intuition to come in there and to give you information so that you can make better decisions and so forth. And so although we need to daydream, we also need to, when we're not daydreaming, which is probably most of the time, hopefully, when we're not daydreaming, we need to focus on now rather than focusing on the past, which we can't change, or the future, which is completely unknown. Both of those are pointless exercises, actually, because living in the present is where we have to be, because that's where we make our memories, so we can remember what's happened. That's where we learn. So if we're in an academic course or something, or we're trying to learn a skill or whatever we're trying to do, we need to be present in the moment so that we can remember what it is we're learning. So it's really, really important to be in the present. And living in the present for most of the time is just wonderful, because that's where the happiness lies, because you're not agonizing over anything else. You're just simply focusing on what's happening in the moment. Now, you could say, oh, well, yes, but sometimes there are awful things happening in the moment, and that's true. But actually, the moment is so fleeting that that doesn't matter. You can get through it very quickly, and so it's not a major problem. What I just said a moment ago is now in the past. I can't change it. I can't unsay it. It's in the past, and I've just got to let it go. If I've said something that I didn't want to say, I just have to let that go and say, well, okay, what will be, will be. There's no point in focusing on the past or the future. We have to focus on the present and also allow ourselves a small amount of time to daydream, to let our intuition in, so that when we're dealing with the present, we have much more ability to do the things that are right for us.
Yes. Yeah, that's, you know, for me, I'm one of those, you know, that was of the belief that if I was not doing something, then I wasn't productive. That the idea of even taking a nap, you know, it's like, oh, my God, what the things I could accomplish during that 1 hour. But you know, I now recognize that if my body says, you know, get some rest right now, you know, that just doing that allows it, my body to regenerate, and in a sense then become actually more productive than if I had continued ignoring them.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And we've got to understand this. And this, again, is to do with this overabundance of masculine energy, because the masculine energy is constantly driving, constantly creative. And it's the masculine energy that says, no, don't take a break. You can't take a break. You've got to keep going, because you're only productive when you're moving, when you're doing. And that's why we need the feminine principle to come in there and say, no, no, if you relax for a little while, just for a short while, you'll regenerate your body, you'll have more energy, and you'll do much better when you get back in the doing phase again.
Yes, yeah. I really love that aspect. I think that's a wonderful bit of information that you're sharing with people. Now, one of the topics was worry in our health. And the reason I bring this up is because I recognize this happening with a lot of people who have called into my shows. And the quote from that one is, some people who seek healing live so much in the past and what might have been that they hinder their recovery or improvement in the present moment.
Yes, yes. I get a lot of people come to me for healing who are regretful of allowing the medical profession to push them into taking things or having operations or whatever, which have actually proved to be unsuccessful and have produced many more problems for them. I have people, a lot of people who have emotional problems as a result of the past, in that they have perhaps rifts in their family where they've had arguments and they've never allowed those arguments to be resolved, and they are still at loggerheads, and this is just an ongoing emotional pressure for them. And this is what I mean about worry. There is no point in worrying about all these things because they're going to happen anyway. And I know that sounds very glib. I know a lot of people, probably your listeners, will be saying, yeah, well, that's all very well saying that. I'm sure that's very true. But you try not worrying about things. And I understand that. But in actual fact, if you can get yourself into the situation where you worry about things for maybe a set period of time, so that you say, well, between, I don't know, 5 and 6 in a day, I will think about all those things that are worrying me, and I will, you know, think about whether or not I can resolve them and so forth and so on. And then I'm not going to worry about them at any other time. I'm just going to live my life and carry on. That's often a lot easier because you take the pressure off yourself. And also, it's a bit like, you know, when you are trying to remember the name of somebody and you can't remember it and you keep racking your brains and you can't remember it. And then you think, oh, well, I just can't remember that. You go off and do something else and the name pops into your head. Now, the same thing can happen with worry. If you worry for certain specific periods of time or think about things, I don't like the term really worry about things, but you think about things and how you can resolve them for a certain period of the time, when you come away from them and you relax or you do other things, quite often the resolution to those problems can just pop into your head and you think, oh, why didn't I think of that before? And you get on and get them sorted. If you don't do that, you're putting pressure on yourself, you're putting unnecessary stress on yourself, and stress, as we know, creates illnesses, particularly chronic illnesses. So it's in your best interest not to spend time endlessly worrying about things. It's not going to help.
Yes, that, you know, that's the one thing that, I mean, I was raised and trained very well in worry. So
most people were.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to work very hard at, you know, very diligently, I should say, at eliminating that. And the one thing that you indicate in that particular one is really important is experience it, learn, and then let go.
That's right. This is the way to keep your health good because, you know, all these thoughts are affecting every cell in your body, as I said before. So all that worry is actually affecting your cells and creating often illnesses, or if it's not creating them, it's making whatever else you've got wrong with you worse. So
yeah,
it's really, really important to get a perspective on this and say, well, okay, you know, I'm not going to ruin my health for the sake of worry, because if I can't resolve something, I can't resolve it. No amount of thinking about it may sort it out, actually.
Yeah, exactly, yes. And you know, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, right now the letting go aspect, you know, I've noticed a lot of people are having problems with that. You know, they seem to try to hold on.
It is difficult. Yeah,
well,
it is difficult.
Yeah, it can be, I think, you know. But once you realize and recognize the benefit of letting go of, particularly of, you know, challenging, trying, or difficult situations, it just truly frees your spirit to be in that.
Now, that's very interesting you say that, Robert, about spirit, because an exercise that I've used and I've suggested to others, and it has worked with regard to worry, is if you have something or somebody that you're worried about, or you've got a problem with somebody or whatever it is, if you imagine a silver cord connected to your solar plexus and going out and connecting to whatever the problem is or whoever the problem is, and then you meditate on that. You just sit quietly. Well, you don't even have to meditate. You just sit quietly and relax and visualize this. And then you visualize taking a pair of scissors and just cutting that cord and then resolving to yourself, I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm going to just get on with my life. That works very well. You may have to do it several times because it may be a well-entrenched worry. But if you do it several times, you can find that that will actually resolve your difficulty and you will be able to let it go.
I like that. I think that's wonderful. You know, because I think, again, you know, for a lot of people, it's difficult to try and come up with a practical way of making a shift in thought, and that is such a good way.
Yeah, well, I think so. And it, as you say, it's practical. It's something you can do. And of course, action takes away fear, because a lot of this is surrounded by fear. I mean, worry and fear are very closely connected. And if you can take away the fear from any situation, then that will help to resolve it very, very easily.
Yes. And, you know, we're actually down to the last 5 minutes. And we were only able to get through briefly 5 out of 11 chapters. So I mean, there is so much information that you had. So I'm going to kind of just briefly talk about, you know, the chapters that you had, and then we'll just finish up with any kind of closing comments. One of them is allowing ourselves to breathe, talking about different types of breathing, the importance of that. One of the chapters is allowing space. Being instead of doing. No, this one I want to spend just a real quick minute. Being doesn't mean being idle, correct?
No. It means actually sitting and consciously allowing your body to relax, consciously allowing the thoughts that arise to just go away, and just keep on monitoring your body to make sure that it's relaxed, and just allowing yourself that space in which to just be. And that is wonderful to bring in your intuition. Again, you're allowing space for your intuition to come in and help you with any problems you might have.
Yes, you know, and to me that's critical, because sometimes people get the misunderstanding of, you know, the idea of being means not doing anything and just kind of let things happen, whereas that is just not the case.
No, it's a very positive and creative activity.
Yes. Okay, and see, now also you talked about three graces: gratitude, forgiveness, generosity. I was so happy to see gratitude there in the very first one in the three graces, because I highly believe that that is a critical component in continuing to receive blessings.
Absolutely. Because, again, you're preparing the ground. You're actually saying, I'm grateful for whatever, you know, whatever it may be, even if you haven't got it yet. You know, if you say, I'm grateful for this, it will appear in your life, because you are preparing the ground and you're allowing yourself to attract to you what you require.
Yeah, and let's see, and then we had one of the topics was overcoming fear and nurturing love, very important, and then life on Mother Earth. You go into a whole explanation about communication using technology and without technology, partnerships, foundations, and all that kind of thing, and then reconnecting with our spiritual home is the last paragraph, where you talk about our innate oneness. And that kind of thing. This is just far too short of a time to be able to adequately discuss your book. But if you know, what is it that you hope that you will be able to achieve with someone reading your book? What was your goal?
My goal was that people would feel more comfortable with their lives if they followed a lot of the things that I'm suggesting, and that as a result of that, their health would be better, and they would be able to cope better with life generally. And as soon as you can allow life to flow through you, you find that your health imbalances just disappear, life becomes much more joyous, and you are a person that becomes a magnet for other people, because they just think you're so great.
Yes.
So that was what I wanted to do, was to make people more comfortable with living here on the Earth plane, because it's a brutal training ground, this Earth plane. And if we can make ourselves feel more comfortable in it, then that's got to be for the best.
Yeah, well, I believe that we're here to experience, you know, and to create.
Absolutely.
co-create, and that is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, Jennifer, I think you're one of those great people, and truly, I mean, I have read a lot of books over the last couple of years, a lot of books, and you can be guaranteed that I hope you're talking to people about yours, because just because of the practical aspect, you know. And that's wonderful. So I want to thank you
for
your time.
If anybody wants to contact me through the website, they're very welcome.
Okay, yeah, they can contact you there. And, yeah, so anyway, and we also had somebody in the chat room said that you had a lovely website. You had already gone to it, so it is wonderful. So, again, I really appreciate your time today, and thank you for sending the book. And, again, give my love to Howard, and do let him know that I want him back when he gets that next book published, because I was very interested in it. Great. All right. Thank you for joining me. Everyone, I do want to thank you for joining me today. Everyone in the chat room, everybody listening in archives. Do want to remind you that we do have another show tomorrow. It will be from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to have back my good friend, psychic medium Mary Beck. So I hope you'll be able to join us there. It's always a good time. And I thank you for joining me today. And until we meet again, cruise on.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Mystical Cruise Show. To become a friend or follower, visit blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadioMe. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at ByteRadioMe or at our website, ByteRadio.me. For show information, contact Robert at 843-808-0777. Until next week, cruise on!